because it's the scare package was created. I had no idea if anybody was going to like this shit. You know, I just really, it was me and my friends. We were frustrated in the industry, and it was like, let's just get together. Let's just do what makes us laugh. And then like, whatever happens, figure the fuck out after that. Right. So I had no idea what that was going to mean. And it hits, and now I have a sequel, and it's like, oh, have I gone too far? Did I do it again? Should I just stay at the video store? Like,
hello, friends. Welcome to Mostly Harmless. I'm your host, Dammit Damien. Buddies, welcome to this special bite-sized edition of Mostly Harmless. Today, we are hanging out and having a short little chat with my new best friend forever, horror movie director and producer extraordinaire, Mr. Aaron B. Kuntz. We're hanging out. We are chatting about his newest project, Scare Package 2, Rad Chad's Revenge. It premieres today, December 22nd, on Shudder. It's a hell of a movie, and it's a hell of a conversation. We only got a few minutes to chat with Aaron, so we made every moment count. Aaron is one of the masterminds behind Paper Street Productions, a production company based out of Austin, Texas, whose recent releases include films such as Blood Relatives and Old Man. Both out now, Blood Relatives on Shudder, killer film. Loved it. Paper Street Productions, doing a great job, you guys. Kuntz himself has directed films such as The Pale Door and Camera Obscura. And Kuntz is also the mastermind behind the 2019 hit horror comedy anthology Scare Package. Aaron acted as producer, as well as the director of the Rad Chad sequences that tie all the little short films together in Scare Package. Aaron and his friends are back for Scare Package 2, Rad Chad's Revenge. This time, Rad Chad is back from the grave and still dedicating to educating the masses on the horror movies that he loves, going to insane lengths to make sure people appreciate the legacy of the genre. Now, from the official press release, the movie is described as, when horror guru Rad Chad Buckley's funeral turns into an elaborate series of death traps centered around Chad's favorite films, the guests must band together and use the rules of horror to survive the bloody game. This is a film made for folks like myself who grew up in mom and pop video stores, watching the wildest and craziest VHS films we could find. It's a rip-roaring, fun, little, low-budget horror comedy anthology. Lots of late-night fun to be had in this little film that could. This film would be right at home back in the day on USA's Up All Night, where I, of course, discovered my love of trauma films while watching, hoping to see some boobs. It would also like fit right at home with Joe Bob's legendary show Monster Vision that aired back on basic cable back in the day as well. If you remember either one of those shows and had a love affair with either of those shows like I did, chances are you're gonna fucking love Rad Chad's Revenge. Scare Package 2 is out today, December 22nd on Shudder. I've rambled enough, buddies. Let's go chat with Rad Chad creator himself, Aaron B. Kuntz, and find out what this film is all about.
Love the Descendants. Yeah, cool.
Thanks, man. They're my favorite band. I had watched a couple interviews with you, and some of your t-shirt collection showed up in some of the videos, and I was like, me and this guy are going to get along just fine.
Yeah, that Mill and Colin. Yeah, that whole era was like a thing for me. Yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah. Well, I know we don't have a lot of time today to talk about punk rock and stuff, but maybe one day in the future we can talk about punk rock. So let's just jump in and get started. Aaron Kuntz, thanks for joining me on the show today. Aaron is the producer and segment director of Shudder's newest horror anthology, Scare Package 2, Rad Chad's Revenge. It premieres tomorrow, December 22nd on the Shudder streaming service. Aaron, how the hell are you doing today?
I'm great. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Man, it is such a blast. I was such a fan of the Scare Package movies. I was late jumping onto the Shudder bandwagon. And when I finally did, the first Scare Package was the absolute first movie I watched on the service.
Wow, so awesome.
It really opened up that world and showed me what Shudder could do. Scare Package 2, it hits tomorrow. It is finally out there in the world. How are you feeling about that? How are you doing about that?
I mean, I'm still nervous, I gotta say. You know, because it's the Scare Package was created. I had no idea if anybody was going to like this shit. You know, I just really, it was me and my friends. We were frustrated in the industry, and it was like, let's just get together, let's just do what makes us laugh, and then like whatever happens, figure the fuck out after that, right? So I had no idea what that was going to mean, and it hits, and now I have a sequel, and it's like, oh, did I Have I gone too far? Did I do it again? Should I just stay at the video store? Like all these things that I'm thinking about, you know, and you second guess all this. And so I'm in that moment because it hasn't released, but I've been talking to so many people that have already seen it and the reaction's been pretty great. And, you know, so I'm in this mix. I'm in this mixed stage right now. Yeah.
How do you feel about the finished product? Is it what you anticipated? Are you happy with it? Or are you still seeing like, oh man, I wish I had had 10 more minutes to fix that or do this?
I make a lot of movies. Like our company produces a lot of movies. I think if you're ever thinking you're just like, this is perfect, then you haven't done everything completely right. I feel like there should be a strain always. So yes, there are still things that I'm like, man, you know, there's a couple big set pieces that we didn't get to pull off, you know, and what happened. And so, but as a whole, I'm extremely proud of it. Like, I think it is that irreverent. It is that silly. It is that balls to the wall. Like, you know, I think we pulled off things that I was told by my own team. Like, I have no idea how we're going to pull that off. I don't know what we're going to do. This is the lowest budget movie that we have on our slate, you know? Really? And so, but we put more time into it. It takes longer to get made and put together than anything else that we're making. So, you know, I'm super proud of it. Like I've watched it now in festivals, you know, and I've toured all over the world, you know, in London and Brussels and Helsinki and all these different places, Toronto showing the film. And I watch it every time and find myself laughing, you know, and that's hard with a comedy because I've heard these jokes now for 3 years, yeah. You know, so it's a different world, but I still laugh. I still laugh.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised to hear that it was a lower budget film because I got really stoned and I watched it because I think, you know, comedy, horror films, late night movies, that's maybe the way to
encourage,
you know, and then here's just some notes that my stoner ass wrote. It's like John Wick 2. It ups the ante. It ups the ante in a real cool, unexpected way, maintains and improves quality. This is special in its own little way. It works really well with its own voice, its own tone. It takes a lot of things to go right to make a movie like this work. I don't know what that sentence means, but that's what I wrote. How do you get it all to go so right? So I thought like it did. It felt bigger. It felt like you upped the ante in a whole lot of ways, but you actually, this is a smaller film than the original.
No. Well, I would say the original Scare Package, we did have a little more money than the original, but not a ton more. You know, so it was definitely, but of all the other movies that we're making, like we released a lot of movies this year and with my company, it is the lowest budget of all those films. But yeah, no, I mean, no, the first one was like minuscule. This is just above minuscule, you know, and but we put every dollar on the screen. I mean, there's no directors are paid, producers are like, none of us, all the money goes into the project. You know, we're doing this for the love of it. And hopefully we can make money on other movies. You know, that's the idea, because we just care so much about just putting it all out there. You know,
that's very punk rock of you. I wish we had more time to talk about more of that.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. It is.
Like,
it is.
You know what? Fuck it. We're already talking about it. Like, so how did you figure out that mentality of, you know, like, we're just going to go make this. We're not going to collect paychecks. We're just going to go make stuff.
Well, the whole industry, like the entire film industry has a lot of people who want to talk about making movies all the time. And they just want to sit around and they just want to kind of pat each other on the back about like, I've got this 10 film slate and I want to do this and I want to do that. And nobody actually wants to get out and make anything anymore, yeah. You know? And so we're just like, no, like, just go do it, you know, figure it out. Like stop talking about, stop trying to make it this $10 million thing, like figure out, get scrappy, figure out the way that you can get it made. And the secret to making movies is you get the money back to those people that have made it, that invested in it, and then you're off and running. And so, yeah, I just, there definitely is a mentality for us that, you know, if I can't hire someone in a position, like, okay, well, one of us is going to do it then, you know, and whatever. I mean, I've been DIT on 3 movies because that's an expensive hire on set. So I'm producing, sitting there, like transferring footage and transcribing footage, you know, while I'm like answering questions from the director and stuff, you know. So it's like for movies I'm producing, it doesn't matter. We're all down to do whatever it takes, you know, in those situations to kind of get it made, because it's indie filmmaking. It is, there's 100% a punk rock kind of aspect to it. because nobody else is going to, you know, push this ball up the hill. You know, you guys have to be the ones to do it. And yeah, I mean, that's really, and Paper Street Pictures, my company, that's really where it started. It was just like, let's just go make movies.
That's great. So many people, myself included, I also like dream of making movies, but then I get so like the scope of it all, it seems so big that I just, you know, it's easier to just make a podcast or a zine or whatnot. So congratulations to you for getting up and getting out there and finding that courage. How hard is it for you to make a movie like this? How hard is it to get something like this off the ground and running?
Well, I mean, look, I will say, just to encourage back to you, you know, like, you don't, every movie, when you look at it from like this kind of like macro place, it's like, how the fuck am I going to do this? And if we sat down and I just thought about all of the things that have to come together to do it, it would inundate me, and I would get bogged down and not get anything done. It's just like when you're on a film set, you know, you break everything down, and there's a term called making your days, you know, and it's like, I just got to get this much done. And it's like, can I do this today? And if you can do that today, then you can then, and then you do it again, and you do it again, you do it again, you got a movie. So it starts, and even in the development and the prep stages, like every day, I would come in with a mentality of like, I'm moving this movie forward today. So what am I doing today that is moving this movie forward? It doesn't mean that I am going to make all these perfect connections, or I'm going to talk somebody into financing it or whatever, but I'm going to make an effort today to move it forward. I'm going to find something that I can do that is pushing that rock up that hill, because again, nobody else is going to push it for you. So you just kind of have to say, this is the project, this is the thing I want to do, and nobody's going to stop me from doing it. You know, I always talk to other filmmakers or, you know, film students, and I'll say, like, if there's something else, if you could have any other job in the world, what would you do? And they're like, oh, I would do this or this. I'm like, okay, then go do that. But for those of you that sat there and like, I don't know what I would do, like, this is what I got to do, then you're it. You got the itch. Now you need to go scratch it and get out there and start making short films, putting together a reel, getting together your team, the people that you trust, the people that are your filmmaking partners, and just step by step every day, say, I'm moving this ball forward. And next thing you know, you're going to have a movie made too.
Nice. Well, let's tie that into this film. It sounds like it's a very personal experience. How much of Rad Chad, the you know, the connecting factor between Scare Package 1 and 2, and how much of him is you, and how much of him is the actor Jeremy King? And you know, yeah, I guess that's kind of where I'm going, is how much of Rad Chad is you, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, so I am a little bit, because I grew up working in a video store. You know, I'm a horror aficionado. It's in my DNA in every way. So I'm a little bit of Rad Chad and a little bit of Sam in, as you know, that's like there at the store and hanging out and that kind of thing. I mean, even when I've gone to LA, you know, I've gone to Cinephile and I've been there and like, you know, drank sitting around pulling out Blu-rays. So it's still something that I do. But Jeremy, definitely, I've known Jeremy King for many years, and he there's a style to him. Like I just know the way that he works. So I write all of his dialogue. Cameron and I write this together, but when it comes to what, you know, Jeremy King says, like, I write all of that. And then I do give opportunities for him because he's so funny. I give him opportunities. There's what I call, it's like a Jeremy take. And it's like, we'll do our things. I'm like, all right, you get a Jeremy take, you know? And sometimes it's like the dumbest shit and sometimes it's amazing. And there are things, you know, in the film, especially at the end, that are Jeremy takes, and really, really great. And I think made the movie so much better. And, you know, but we've worked together enough and created this like comfort level with each other that I can give him the space that he knows he can kind of improvise on that. But yeah, I mean, you know, I was, I'm a cinephile, you know, grew up in video stores. I was the person being like, you got to watch this, like, holy shit. You know, I was the tape trading guy, like that was all part of me. So that's all in here. And I'm also a person who gets really frustrated when people call horror B movies. And I get frustrated when they say it's elevated horror. And I'm like, there's no elevated drama. There's no elevated comedy. Like, why are we, you know? So if that frustration now, if you get into a heightened reality and the Scare Package kind of craziness could become what Scare Package 2 becomes, right? And then that kind of informs those villains in a completely messed up way. But then we're also talking about, you know, there's commentary there on like toxic fandom and some other stuff that was important to me to discuss in the film too. But anyway, yeah, so there's definitely a part of me that's there and will always be there. And it's probably why the Rad Chad character is so special to me,
How do you want Rad Chad to be remembered in the years to come? Do you think that he'll have a lasting legacy? Because I do. I think he'll have a lasting legacy.
That would make me so happy, you know, if he could just be someone that, you know, is synonymous with the horror space and world, and people know that he comes from it. And even though he might get misunderstood and he might go the different directions, especially in the second film, but as a person who just loves this genre and just wants to evangelize it to as many people as we can. And that is what I hope comes across in all the Scare Package films. And hopefully we're able to make more that really can focus on what that is. And we're saying, hey, Damon, you're a diehard horror fan, you get it, but you might be watching with a partner and maybe that partner is not as diehard of a horror fan. You're laughing harder. They're kind of like chuckling and they're like, why are you laughing? And it's like, no, that's actually a joke from Dream Warriors. And like, what's Dream Warriors? Well, then after that, you all are watching Dream Warriors because we created this space, you know, to talk about these other films. So now Scare Package 2 is becoming that video store again for me. And I'm getting to like push Dream Warriors onto someone, you know, and that's the hope and the goal. And I think if that can happen, it's just really special to me.
Dream Warriors is my favorite. And I definitely caught the allusions to that in the film and was very, very much blown away by it.
Cool.
Man, I loved it. Aaron, real quick, how do you find the voices that you include in these films? How do you find other directors that you want to work with and bring into your baby?
There's, these are all people that I consider my friends. These are all people that I want to work with, that I admire their work, you know, and I love producing. So getting to work with other directors and seeing how they put this together, how they frame, how they block, how they develop stories is great for me. I get to learn from all these wonderfully talented folks. So it starts with like just people that I already know. People will be surprised is like how small the horror industry really is. We all know each other. We're all pals. I want to give opportunities to people too that maybe aren't making, you know, a bunch of feature films and they're trying to kind of break through. I think that's part of what makes Scare Package a little different. I think that's part of our goal. So that's something that's important. And, you know, everyone, you know, Rachel Wiggins, I met at the world premiere of Scare Package 1 in Spain. We almost got arrested together in Spain. That's how we became friends. Alex Barreto is best friends with my producing partner, Ashley Sneed. So kind of known her through that. And she made a short that I love called Lady Hitter, played a Tribeca. I was like, this is so funny. And she's a horror fan. And so that made sense. And then, you know, Jed Shepard was someone that I got to know, during the pandemic. We were on Clubhouse a lot together, excuse me. And like, you know, these were just people that I admired their work. You know, I loved Host. I loved what he was doing Dash Cam. Like, he's a talented guy. And then this idea of getting all the Host girls back together, I thought was a blast. So, and then Anthony Cousins was someone that I, you know, knew from the first film. And I wanted one segment to be a sequel, because I've never seen a sequel to a segment before. And I was like, well, then we have to do it. And Anthony was already playing in that sequel space in the first film. So it just kind of naturally made sense. So yeah, you know, it's just people that I admire and I want to work with, you know, and I want to learn from selfishly. I'm like, ooh, I could be a better director if I watch these people work, you know, and that's part of the joy and part of what makes it great.
Hell yeah. Aaron, we're out of time, my friend. I love the film. Can't wait to watch it over and over again. Hopefully in the next cycle, we get a little bit more time to talk about punk rock, HBO and video stores, because I feel like we could take up an entire hour doing that.
All about it.
Congratulations. Congratulations so much. I hope you enjoy your day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Premiere. So
yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah.